We're carrying on with our theme of loving God, if you haven't grasped that already. That song, I don't know if you listen to the words and look at the screen when that sort of interlude is happening, that's what it's there for. Just to talk in there about loving God. And that song says, "You are being loved." It's by Steve Curtis Chapman. You are being loved. You are being loved. You are being loved. I don't know how, if you feel that, but you are being loved all the time. It's a never-ending thing. Never, ever ending, you being loved. No matter how much you feel about yourself, no matter what you think about yourself, you are being loved. I'm being loved. When I'm speaking today about you, I'm always talking about me. Don't forget that. Because when you're pointing one finger that way, there's four coming this way or three, whatever you've got. Yeah, pointing this way. I'm talking about myself as I'm talking to you as well. But you know, there's much more. And that's really what the theme I'm talking about today is loving God, but much more. I don't know if there's a slide going to come up on the screen in a minute. If it does, that's great. If you've got your Bibles with you, or your tablets, or your mobile phones, turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We're going to read a little passage out of the Bible. It's a very well-known passage. It's entitled, "Do Not Worry." I don't know if you've come in today with worries or concerns or issues that are facing you outside, but Jesus says, and this is Jesus writing, he says, "Do not worry." That's the first thing. Do not worry. That's what it's titled. And in verse 25, it says this. It says, "Therefore," this is Jesus speaking, "I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what should we eat? Or what should we drink? Or what should we wear? Or where should we go? Or what's going on there? Or what's going to happen then? Or what about tomorrow? For pagans run after all these sort of things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. But seek ye first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Just great to see Dave here. I don't want to embarrass Dave, but it's really sweet to see Dave, Adriana's dad here. And I'm just going to say to Dave, don't worry about tomorrow, Dave. Don't worry about next week's game. You know, if you're a Liverpoolian, it's a tough time because we're a bit worried about our team. But I'm not worried about it. In the scheme of things, you know, it doesn't really matter, but it does really to some people. It's life and death. Yeah. Don't worry, Dave. I'm not going to worry anyway. I'm not going to worry. In those verses there, verse 26, it says, "You are much more valuable." In verse 31, it says, "You are much more, I will clothe you." And it doesn't just mean give you an outfit to wear. It's an overall protection, an overall looking after, an overall I'll be with you. Much more than anything that the fields have got or the animals have got. Much more, I'm with you. I love you all the time. You see, God has lovingly put you here. If you like it, in the talking about the gardening sense of it, God has lovingly planted you here on earth. You're here for a purpose. God's put you here. You're special. Not only has he put you here, but he wants to look after you. If you plant something, you want to tend to it. You want to water it. And he's tending after you. He wants to water and feed you and care for you, watch over you, establish you, and then look at you and say, "Wow, look at that wonderful thing I've made." He wants to joy over you. He wants to admire what he's done. And if you're a gardener, that's the sort of thing you do, isn't it? When you plant it, you see it come up and it grows and you're just made up with it. If it's a vegetable, then you might want to eat it. But it's something you put time and effort into. Something that is valuable. And God's done the same for you and for me. But much more, he wants to do much more. If we say much more, it means a lot. Over and above. An abundance. The vastness of God's supply. It's unlimited. It's beyond our expectations. It's beyond our understanding. Adrienne was speaking a couple of weeks ago in this series, and she said, God is love. And God is love. That's what he is. He's total love. God is love, total love. His total love and nothing else besides. His whole heart is to love mankind, to love you and me. It's us that have made the mess of it, but he still goes on loving us and wanting the best for us. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it even entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Beyond our comprehension. You see, God knows everything. He knows every little detail about us. The Bible says that even the hairs of our head are numbered. And my numbers have gone down drastically over the years. Yeah, but they're still numbered. He still keeps crossing them off. Or adding them on if you're a bit younger. The Bible says that's how much detail God knows about us. He knows everything. That famous verse in Jeremiah 29, you all know it. It says this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God knows all about you. You see, we think we know what we want. Yeah, Christmas is coming. I don't know if anyone's asked you. I've already been asked by my mother-in-law what I want for Christmas. Do you know what? I haven't got a clue. I don't really want anything, if I'm being brutally honest, unless she's got a Ferrari money. I don't know. Or Liverpool to win a couple of games. But you know what I mean? Yeah? What do I want for Christmas? I don't know what's on your list. But you see, we have wants maybe, but Jesus knows what we need. And there's a big difference between what we want and what we actually need. You see, he's going to provide for our needs. That's how much he cares for us. We all want stuff, and we like stuff. And if you're anything like me, you've got too much stuff, and too much stuff that you don't even know what you want. God says, look, I'll give you what you need. Just what you need. Not what somebody else needs, what you need. How many times have you had that Christmas present and it's been just what you didn't want? Yeah? God's not in the business of giving you what you don't want. He's giving you just what you need at the right time. There's another story in the Bible I just want to refer to. It's in Mark chapter 10 again. Look at it in your Bible. It's a story of the rich young ruler. And this is what it says. It says, as Jesus was on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Jesus said, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shouldn't steal. Don't give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This guy had everything. He had wealth, youth, and power. If you had a choice of three things you could have, they'd be three good choices, wouldn't they? Or would they? In this world's eyes, yeah, everyone would like wealth. We'd all like to be a bit younger. And we'd all like some power. This guy had everything, but you know what? He had nothing. He was searching for an answer. He was searching for something that was really going to bring him satisfaction. He wanted to know that his future was secure. And you know, Jesus knew all about him. That verse really, I never really noticed it fully before till I read this story again this week. When he said, I've done all the things they've asked me to do. I've kept all the commandments. And Jesus knew in honestly that no way could he possibly have kept all the commandments. But he wasn't going to pull him up. It says this, Jesus looked at him, and what did he do? Did he say, you liar? No, you didn't. You'll never make it, go away. No, what did he say? It says, Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. I just think that's fantastic. Isn't it absolutely fantastic that Jesus looked at him, and he loved him? And you know, Jesus looks at you and me today with all our mess and all our junk and all our lots of whatever it is, and he loves us. He doesn't point the finger at us. He doesn't say, what about that? Or you didn't do this? Or what about that? Or what about the other? Or you're not good enough? He just looks at us and he loves us. And it's just unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. The Bible gives an illustration and it says, bring all your goodness, all the good things you've done, and put them together. Bring all the goodness that we've all done. Let's bring all our goodness next week. And the Bible says, we bring it all and we put it down, it'll be basically just a heap of filthy rags. Because that's all it is, because our goodness really doesn't match up to anything of the goodness of God. Because all our goodness is just about us. Yeah? And it's nothing wrong in doing good things, but it doesn't reach the goodness that God requires. And this guy said, I've done all the commandments, I've done it all. But Jesus knew in his heart he hadn't really measured up fully. But he still loved him, and he just said, that's that one thing you've got to do, that thing that's really getting in the way, all that money you've got, why don't you just give it away and come and follow me? If he had done, then I'm pretty sure then he'd have been okay, he'd have survived. Because Jesus knew the much more, yeah? Jesus knew that he was valuable. Jesus knew that he would provide for him. And he loved him. Jesus knew all about him. And when he looks at you and me today, Jesus, he loves you. I don't know what you think about yourself today, whether you think you're a mess, whether you think you haven't lived up to it. Maybe you think, I just haven't made it. Maybe you think you're not good enough. Maybe you think you could have done better. Jesus says, I love you today. You're valuable to me. I care for you. I want a relationship with you. And that's what Jesus wanted, that relationship with him. This sermon series that we're doing is called Loving God. And that loving God is a two-way expression. It's deliberately loving God, yeah? Because we were born to love God. To love a loving God. So God is a loving God loving you. And we need to be loving God, yeah? So we have that loving God. And we need to loving God. It's hard to get our head round that this almighty, all creator God wants your love. He wants my love. Sometimes our earthly love is rejected. Yeah, people don't even want our earthly love sometimes. But Jesus says, I want your love. I want relationship with you. And you know, there's something missing. If we haven't given our love to God, it's hard to get our head round it, but that's the truth. God wants your love and he wants my love. And he wants to give his love to us. So when we love him, he loves us. But he loves us first, if that makes sense. And as he loves us, we love him. And you know, there's much more, much more. When we receive his love, we receive total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. Total acceptance. The slate is wiped clean. If you've got guilt today, if you're guilty about something, and we could all say, yeah, quite often if we're getting into a bit of a row or something at home or whatever, someone will bring something up from the past. Remember you said that? Yeah? Whoa! Ah! If only I could have took it back. We've all done it. We're only in jest here, but you know what I mean? It still digs a little bit. But God doesn't do that. We are totally forgiven. Totally forgiven. Totally guilt-free. I can still remember some of the stuff I've done. I couldn't even tell you what I've done because you'd throw me out. But you know what I mean? I can't stand here today and say I'm this super duper, commandment keeper, fantastic person. No way at all. If you saw the warts and all, you'd throw me out. But God doesn't. He looks at me and says, Dave, I love the bones of you. I love the little bit of hair you've got left. I love it all. You're precious to me. Ooh, hard to believe it, but it's the truth. And it's the same for you guys today. Don't think you're not good enough. Don't think you never make it, because you won't, without God. But with God in your life, with God in your relationship, then, wow, that's it. Much more you made. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as you removed our transgressions. They've gone, forgotten, buried, away. There's an old hymn that we sing, and it says this. It says, love, that's the love of God, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. We don't like demands today. No one likes putting a demand on people. We don't like to be demanded. But you know, that word demand there, love so amazing, so divine, demands, that isn't, it isn't a demand, you will, and God's got the big stick out, come on or else. It isn't that. It doesn't mean that at all. It's a what else could I possibly do? That's what it is. Love so amazing, so divine, what could I ever possibly do but love you, God? That's what it is. And that's the sort of God we come to. We come to a God with outstretched arms. Those outstretched arms on the cross were outstretched arms for the love for the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. For God so loved the world, he loved you and me. That's what it's for. That's the much more love of God for you and for me. What else can we do but daily die to ourselves? Can someone just go and tell Adrienne that we're just coming to a close? Because I know the kids want to come back in. Oh, sorry, that's gone. Great. I know the kids want to just come back in, and the service hasn't finished for the kids yet. I know they want to come back in. Yeah. What else can we do to that loving God? What else can we do? I just love God that even with that lad, that rich young ruler, Jesus didn't put his arm up his back and said, come on, guys, give us your money. Come on and follow me. That wouldn't have worked. And he doesn't do that to you or me today. He hasn't got a pistol at your head and said, come on, come and follow me or else. That isn't God. It's a free, voluntary choice. A voluntary choice. Take it. Follow me. Have the much more that I've got for you. And I'm not talking here prosperity that you hear about the American guys saying, come on, come to God and everything will be dandy and rosy and you get loads of money. That isn't God for me. But he's saying, just come to me as you are. Find satisfaction. Find peace. Find joy. Find hope. It's a free choice. It's yours. What else can we do but die daily to ourselves? You see, God is about much more than we can ever imagine. The Bible says, and greater things than these will you do in my name. Much more. Amazing things. The amazing things, it says, for you and me today. God wants to do amazing things in our lives. Just as the children just coming in now. As the children come in, if the worship band could just come back, that'd be great. Isn't it great the way the kids just come in? Hey, no pretense. And that's what God is, you see. That's what it is. We get a bit too stuck. God says, just come as you are. Yeah? Just come as you are. We're going to sing a song. Which song are we going to sing?